And so it says that he fled and he hid and or sat down by a well. But, well, for you and I want to look at identity. Moses had a mistaken identity, so he became to realize that he wasn't an Egyptian, he was a Hebrew. And out of that identity would begin to grow over that 40 years a realization of who he really was, so he could then hear another of the Lord's call to lead his people out of the slavery of Egypt, which of course you know he did. So let's take a few moments here. I'd like you in your small groups, I'd like you to list three things that you say make up identity. I want you to talk about it with each other just for a few minutes. I'm going to give you about, you know, 2-3 minutes to work on. So list three things that make up identity, and then we're going to ask you to report back. Okay, I'd like you to list three things. So let's start with the groups. What did your group say was a characteristic of identity? Yes.
Appearance.
Okay.
Ethnic background.
Ethnic background, okay.
Where our parents are, where we work, and perhaps where we are, our location.
Your location and who your parents were. Okay, great. As making up identity. Someone else? What, another group?
Our faith.
Your faith, okay.
Beliefs and values.
Beliefs and values, okay, good. And what else? So another group?
Relationships.
Relationships and friends make up identity, okay?
Surname.
Your surname, right. Right, exactly.
How about your email name?
That's right. Nowadays it's email, right? Yes. Yes, many of us have many different email names, huh? Okay. Anyone else?
How about DNA?
DNA, yes, exactly. Our DNA are unique to us, right? Exactly. Okay, good. That's a nice list. You can see that our identity is made up of many different things. And that's naturally and characteristic of who we are. Would it be from appearance to email name to our faith to our values to our parents to what our surname is to DNA to whatever. We're made up of many different things that say this is who you are, this is who I am. Now the scriptures also have identification for who we are. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 8. This is what I believe at the heart of the New Testament. This passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. The Roman Christians, as you're turning, were people who lived in Rome. And Rome was a culture, a society that was made up of so many different gods and deities, as well as, at times, the brutality of Rome and the egotistical, self-centered behavior. So much so, Paul said, do not think as the world thinks around you, but have renew your mind. You know. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and following, Paul writes to these Christians and says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons, and we could say daughters of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship when we cry, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and children and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now, under your outline here, sons and daughters' identity, the first thing I would put or suggest putting is that the son or daughter is led by the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit of God means that not that simply you're being guided, that's an aspect of it, it means that you're indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord. That your spiritual DNA is the Holy Spirit. This is what makes you and I unique upon the face of the earth, is that we are uniquely carrying within us the Holy Spirit. God's DNA, if you will. God's identity of who we are, the Holy Spirit. Second thing is, this passage speaks, is that We didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Now, when the scripture talks about fear in this context, and also going back to Genesis, Paul has in mind here, is the fear meaning the distrust, the alienation, the suspicion of God. The feeling of God being distant from us or alienated from us. Feeling that he doesn't have our best interests at heart. The sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, was basically a sin that said, I don't believe God has our best interests at heart. We're suspicious of him. That was the whole thing about the serpent. Did God really say this? So he was trying to get them to doubt or be suspicious of God's best intentions for their life. And so that later on that would be called fear, is that we doubt and distrust the Lord's best interests and desires for our heart. St. Paul is saying here that we don't have that any longer. But rather, he says, you receive the spirit of a sonship. Or another way of saying that is the spirit of adoption. Now, let me give you a story. This is a historically true story of adoption in the Roman world that Paul and Jesus would have been living in. When a slave was part of a household, the owner of the household, if he really loved that slave and wanted to set him free, or her free, he would take him down to the marketplace and put him up for bidding. And no matter what anybody bid, the owner would outbid everybody else and would win back his slave because he outbid everybody else. And then what he would do is he would give that slave his papers of freedom. And he would say to that slave, now you are a member of this family, you are a son or a daughter of mine, you share in all the inheritance that my natural sons and daughters have. You also share in my name and my authority wherever you may go. You go down across the entire earth carrying those papers, carrying my name, and carrying and receiving an inheritance that I have to give you. And you can always come back, and this is your home, this is your family, if you choose to leave at this time. That's what was called adoption in the Roman world. And what Paul is alluding to with that, saying that we receive the spirit of sonship, meaning that we've been adopted. And our adoption has come through Jesus Christ, who by his dying and rising has forgiven our sin, has reconciled us to the Father, and has given to us the gift of his DNA, the Holy Spirit, living in us. And so now our identity is no longer, as Paul would say to the Roman Christians, don't pattern your mind after the world around you, but be renewing your mind. So the world around us would say that our identity may come from our parents, or it may come from our government, or it may come from our value system that we grew up with, or it may come from various experiences, both negative and positive, that we had growing up. It may come from our surname. Paul would say to these Christians, but your real identity is that you have the Holy Spirit living in you, that you have God's DNA as part of your life. You belong to the Father, and that you have the Father. The Father's not only love and affection for you, but as we'll see in a few moments, you have the Father's authority, you have the Father's inheritance, and you have access to the Father. It's a true story of a Christian who grew up playing the clarinet and loved to play the clarinet. And he grew up and continued to do so as a young man, and he became part of a Christian community. Well, it happened one day that as he was playing the clarinet, and he did some kind of work in the house, and he accidentally broke his wrist, broke his arm, actually. And what happened was he couldn't play the clarinet any longer. So he was laid up for months and months and months as it was healing. He said during that time, he struggled with that. His identity was so caught up in the clarinet, his ability to play, his ability to do well with it, everybody applauding him and acknowledging his accomplishments, which he was a very accomplished clarinet player. Anyway, his community sent him to Belgium to help work on another community there and to help get them established. He became a pastoral leader in that community in Belgium. He said, during that time, he said, about 4 or 5 months he spent in Belgium, the Lord said something very interesting to him. He said that during this time in which you're healing from your physical wound, he says, I am establishing you in this truth, he says, that your identity is rooted in my relationship to you as a father and you as my son, not in your ability to play a clarinet or for people to applaud you or to approve of you. It's rooted in my approval of you by giving you the gift of my spirit as I call you my son. He said he understood at that time that the most important thing about his life was his identity as a son of the Father, not upon his abilities and accomplishments. That was quite shocking for him, he said, because everywhere in his life that he turned to, it was by what he could accomplish and what he was successful at is where he got the most accolades and the most praise and approval. But the Lord was correcting him and what his true identity was. Take a moment on your paper, if you would. This is just for yourself. I'd like you to write down on your piece of paper, what is unique about your identity? What is unique about your identity? Now, whatever you put down on that paper, I'd like you to put over top of it or in bold print over it, son or daughter of the Father. Whatever it is, make it bigger than what you wrote. Now, so if you go back to the scripture, Romans 8, I'd like you to pick up the verse. It says, but you have received the spirit of sonship, and it says, when we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Well, the desire of the Lord is that he wants to bear witness in your life that you are his son and his daughter. That's his desire. Bearing witness means he wants to give proof to you of that. He wants to give evidence. He wants to give testimony to you of that. And so, we're going to take a moment here before we move on to the place of authority. We're going to ask you a simple question. Where in your life have you seen the Lord bearing witness, giving testimony, giving evidence that you are his son or his daughter? I'd like you to think about that for a moment. I'll give you 1 minute to think about it. Write it down, and then I want you to share it with the people in your group. Where in your life has the Father or the Lord gave testimony, gave evidence, gave proof that you are his son or daughter?